All right, a lot to get to this week. We're going to talk AEW Revolution. Later on, we'll talk some TNA. But let's start with a couple of deaths in the wrestling world. We start with Ole Anderson. And my first memories of Ole Anderson was definitely, obviously, the Four Horsemen and him kind of being the mouthpiece of them. And one thing I'll say is, you know, I was totally sold that him and Arn Anderson were brothers, you know, until you get smartened up when you get older. I wouldn't know any different. Would you agree?
Nope. Yeah, I think that was the same thing with the other guy, Ole.
Mm-hmm.
The original with the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they were related either, but it's like, yeah, you guys look close enough. You're brothers.
Yeah.
It's like, it looked like they could be related. Big hairy guys, same body type.
Yeah, Gene Anderson. And then later on, CW Anderson. I mean, you.
Oh, yeah. If you got to look, you can be an Anderson.
Carl Anderson.
Kinda.
Yeah, kind of like the metrosexual nephew or something. But anyway.
Yeah.
Ole Anderson.
He didn't attempt to have any hair. At least all the other Andersons at least had hairs and watched their hairline creep back.
Yeah. And the mutton chops. Anyway, yep. So, and Ole Anderson, he seemed a little bit of a curmudgeon in his shoot interviews later in life. Like, it didn't, I don't know if he liked it. I don't think he liked anybody.
No. Well, but no, he didn't seem to.
Entertaining, though.
I know that he told the famous story with Cornette, is like, he says, you're a dumbass, but by virtue of all these other dumbasses showing up, you've kind of gone up in the rankings without doing a damn thing.
Yeah.
So, I was like, that's like Ole Anderson.
He served in the Army. I could see that, reaching the rank of specialist. And he was stationed in Germany. So anyway, I ran across some facts about Ole Anderson. We'll run through real quick. Pitched the Black Scorpion angle as a joke. I could see that. And you know,
yeah.
But they sure ran with it.
Yep.
He criticized Arn Anderson and Ric Flair's in-ring style. And I have watched videos of him just going, hey, Ric Flair's full of himself. He's not all that good. It's like, don't know about that.
Yeah, you're inside baseball there. The fans like what the fans like.
Once cursed out Vince McMahon. Looks like a hero nowadays.
Shit, yeah. He was on board early.
Put a hit out on Gerald and Jack Briscoe. Ah, the good old days when you could.
I kind of remember that.
Really?
Kind of remember growing up in Florida, watching we get Georgia Championship and Florida Championship wrestling, whatever. I kind of remember hearing about a hit on the Briscoes. I don't know. I don't know that it was Gene or Ole or whoever, but I seem to remember that.
He would also offer bounties to wrestlers who would break one of the Briscoes' limbs. So he was going for it. Told The Undertaker he'd never make it. This is, I guess, the mean Mark Callis days.
Probably.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
That gimmick, he wasn't going to.
Yeah, it wasn't looking too good, was it? I mean, the heart punch was cool.
Yeah.
Naming Randy Savage. He found inspiration from Ole Anderson, who described him, his in-ring style, as savage. So,
that's, you know, with the elbow drops and all that shit, I didn't doubt it. Back then, that was pretty unusual.
Ole Anderson was punched by Black Jack Mulligan. You see that?
Like, punched him?
Yeah, punched him in the face. You know, like backstage. I guess at the power plant, if you remember the power plant. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would scold Ric Flair for losing matches. I guess he's trying to be a booker.
Okay.
Wrestlers have pointed guns at Ole Anderson. Damn, he just wasn't a well-liked guy, was he?
No.
And he...
No, he talked... Saw one where he talked about he got stabbed at least 3 or 4 times by fans, too.
He was the odd man in the Four Horsemen stable. He wasn't exactly their friends. They were all kind of friends... He was not. He wasn't interested in living the limousine riding, jet flying lifestyle. Then he was eventually kicked out of the group and replaced with Luger. I don't recall that, but I'm not that old.
I have to check.
I thought he was still there when Luger was there. But
I thought Paul Roma and somebody else.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Barry Windham, I thought they were in there way before Luger was.
Right.
I don't know. We'll have to check.
Anyway, so Ole Anderson. So, Virgil or Vincent, whatever, side of the wars you were on.
Soul Train Jones.
Well, there you go. He also passed away. And that one was kind of shocking, he didn't never seem that like he was that old or anything like that. Later on, he became more known for his antics and, out of wrestling persona with the fuck money. And then, the meme, the Virgil, no one's there to get an autograph meme was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, any thoughts on Virgil? I mean,
I saw a couple of things.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Oh, no, I would just say that they used him as fodder in the Dusty Rhodes, Vince McMahon, pissing contest back in the day when he was Virgil and Vincent, depending where he was. A tongue-in-cheek racist thing with Ted DiBiase. What was he supposed to be? Was he the valet? What was he there?
Yeah, he was sort of a valet bodyguard.
Yeah.
Right-hand man type deal.
Money title. Kind of like dressed like a pet animal would be or something, like a little tinfoil vest and stuff like that.
But Chippendale stripper, the sleeveless vest thing.
And then, he was basically the NWO jobber. He was one of those guys, too. Right. I remember. That's what I remember best about Virgil. But, hey, he was around. He got his money for whatever, skill set he had.
He was conscientious about getting that money.
Yeah, well, right. Even after the career, so.
Yep.
Started in 85, the year I was born. So,
speaking of it, you talked about his age. I saw somebody online say he was working everybody, apparently, because he said he was born in like 1961 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually born in 1952.
Yeah, that's what it says here. He was 72.
Yeah, so but he was trying to. What he told everybody was almost 9-10 years later was his birthday. So he was like pushing 40, I think, when he won that championship, the $1 million title.
Yeah,
but he tells everybody a totally different story. So he's working everybody for the longest fucking time. No, my birthday's in the 61. No, man.
Oh, it says he was thought to be 61 by most media upon his death, but his family and friends revealed he's actually 72. He looked good last time I seen him. It didn't look bad.
Don't need to be racist or stereotypical, but black don't crack applied.
Right.
Looked really good.
He had two strokes. He was diagnosed with dementia. He also had stage 2 colon cancer. Then he had additional strokes in February, and then he had complications from the strokes and dementia. So...
So he saved it all the bad shit till the end.
Yeah, a little rough ending there.
Basically. I did see a video too. Remember they did when they had the craze of all the rock stars and the heavy metal stars and all that shit doing their own benefit albums and songs for, to get food for Africa, blah, blah, blah. They had the wrestling album and they had all the wrestlers out there and they did a video and they're all dressed and clapping hands, Toloff's clapping, Slaughter's clapping, everybody's clapping and singing along. They pan across everybody. Virgil is like not selling it at all. He's standing with his arms folded like he usually did, glowering at somebody. It was fucking hilarious. Everybody else is it doesn't matter. We beat the shit out of each other every night, but Virgil was not selling that shit at all.
move on to AEW Revolution pay-per-view. We will start with the 0 hour matches. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang. I can't believe this is a thing, but they defeated Jeff Jarrett's crew, who Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, who I thought they were on the outs with, but I don't know. They've added Willie Mack, Private Party. Yeah. I don't know if they're all together or they just together for this. I'm not sure, but it was a 12-man tag team match. Jay White doesn't need to be in this thing.
No. No. I think it was just a way to get everybody a payday.
Yeah.
I think Tony's trying to keep everybody. Okay, you don't have a match, but at least we're going to throw you some money and come down here and have a little fun and whatever.
Must be 12-man tags. My goodness. Jesus. Those are kind of rare. You don't see
those. That's everybody getting their shit in is all that is.
Anyway, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, they get the win, which, you know, they should. I don't know. Is this a thing where Caster's going to flub his raps and they go heel, or did he screw it up and now they're making it a thing? You know, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I watched a little bit of Collision, and they interrupted him while he was trying to rap. So they started there, and then, of course, he screws it up halfway to the ring on the pay-per-view. Okay, man. Are you really that nervous?
You don't know. I don't know if it's the gimmick at the moment or not, you know?
Yeah.
It
was a goofy thing to get the crowd going, so it was what it was.
Actually, this Statlander and Willow Nightingale defeat Julia Hart and Sky Blue. You see, these are the women you see the most, I would say, out of the three shows. You see a whole lot of versions of this match, in my opinion.
Right.
Willow should be pushed harder, man. She always gets a great ovation.
Oh, yeah. I think that she's better on the mic than Statlander is, from what I've seen.
Yeah, Statlander and Nightingale, they get the victory there. Too awesome to speak of there. I do like Stokely Hathaway. Whatever he does, it's pretty awesome. He's funny. Old Chikara guy. Also, if we ever get into the Chikara stuff, there's so many AEW tie-ins with them. It's insane.
Oh yeah.
Start the pay-per-view off. Christian Cage defeats Daniel Garcia. What's your thoughts on this match?
Like I said, I'm not familiar with their feud. I'm just getting back into wrestling in general. But it was, Christian was dominating for the first part of the match. He was pretty much getting all the offense in, playing all the tricks, screwing with Garcia. But the one thing I did like was where we complain about AEW or TNA, they'll do the pick a body part and work it to try to get an advantage. TNA doesn't do anything with that. They use it to very good effect in this match with Christian's ankle or leg or whatever.
Yes. What you're referring to is Daniel Garcia working the limb and then Christian not being able to do spears and whatever else and, you know, having to to pull up while in pain.
Trying to run, get some momentum, and it's like, has to hit the brakes because he's in pain.
Yeah. You know, obviously a little bit of shenanigans there, but that's Christian's thing. And again, unlike TNA where you can see it in a lot of matches, this is kind of, you kind of expect it here, and it's not a theme throughout the whole show. So, you know, a little bit of shenanigans here. Christian, who he's having a good run. I mean, keep the title on him. The Edge and Christian or Adam Copeland feud, that can go away whenever. I mean, let's not rehash. I mean, it's cool, you know, but I mean, let's not go most of the year doing it still. Either get back together.
For one of the new guys. You know. For one of the newer guys, he was conspicuously absent.
I guess he was injured in the last week or two. So that's the Daniel Garcia that kind of just got thrown in there last second. So
I see.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that's why it curtain jerked also. Anyway. Yeah. Continental Crown Championship. I was actually surprised about this because since Danielson's, he's also winding down in August. I think he's done. I thought he would win the titles here, but Eddie Kingston defeats Brian Danielson by pinfall, just shy of 20 minutes here. Good stuff, hard-hitting stuff. Brian Danielson, he don't really miss either on his matches.
No. He puts on a good one. He makes the other guy look good too.
Yeah. Were you surprised he didn't win this and, you know, get a little run with some championships? I don't know.
It seems like they're really kind of high on Kingston from what I've read. And Eddie's in there trying. He's still wanting to have a career for a while. Danielson, with all of his injuries, I think he realizes he probably shouldn't push his luck.
Well, Danielson doesn't need titles to sell a match, no. So don't get me wrong. All-Star Scramble match. Do you like these? Sometimes I love them in like PWG type stuff where it's just a little bit wacky, you know, just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
This one was all right. I think the crowd made it though. The crowd constantly chanting meat and meat forever and stuff. The crowd really did good. But here we have some of the participants were Magnus from CMLL. I'm not familiar with him, but Dante Martin, Hook, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, one of his appearances, Powerhouse Hobbs, Chris Jericho, which, okay, that's fine. And then the winner of all of this, is Wardlow, which he was expected to win coming in, so no surprise there. It's kind of hard to, discuss this if you didn't, you know, take notes, but it was your typical, obviously, spot fest stuff, but it should be.
Yes. Yeah, but if there's more than, I mean, if you got a trios match and then you structure it to highlight that, you can probably do some good storytelling in it. But this is like guys that weren't teams. It was more or less a battle royal.
I will say, I think it's kind of a shame that Brian Cage hasn't got a little more success here because, I mean, it looks like $1 million and he can do some stuff, man. Not saying his charisma's off the charts or anything, but he's okay. And, I mean, he's got the mouthpiece, if, you know, with Nana.
And he was fun to watch in Lucha Underground a lot, too, so I know he can do really well, but it's just not his turn right now, I guess.
You would think he's been there a number of years now. And Hobbs. Powerhouse Hobbs. We can talk a little bit about it. We don't usually talk about AEW on this show, but AEW, and we'll talk, and I'll bring this up a little bit later here in a few matches. I think they pull the trigger on people way too slow, or they don't pull it at all until they're not hot anymore. You know what I mean? And I'll bring that up. Like, and Wardlow is one of them because, you know, he's saying, you know, where's my title shot? I did this, this, and this. Well, they didn't strike when the iron was hot with him.
No.
When he was, you know, feuding with Cody Rhodes and beating everybody and, you know, and feuding with MJF and all that stuff. And then he just went away. So that's one of them. And I don't expect him to beat, spoiler alert, Samoa Joe for the title either. So, I mean, it's real kind of strange with AEW sometimes. Someone will be super hot and they just don't strike when they should. This is my opinion.
That seems to be a common thing all around, though. Because I know WWE does that a lot. They'll get guys that are like, okay, push this fucker. Get him title on him. He's like just boiling over right now.
Sami Zayn.
And then they'll de-push him or put him in a stupid feud or something, and it just kills him.
Yep.
And I've never gotten it seemed more like a control game than it was about what was best for business.
Next match, Roderick Strong wins the AEW International Championship from Orange Cassidy. I think it's the way to go here. Orange Cassidy's on like every show. I don't know why. some people you don't see, and then they overexpose this guy. I mean, he's awesome. Love him.
Oh, yeah.
But every show, because he is just about every show.
Yeah, he's a reliable hand, so they think, I guess they would think, put him on, we're going to have at least one good match tonight.
Yeah.
Because he always pulls a good match out of everybody, and see, you know, people love him.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is maybe one case where they're actually paying attention.
I think Roderick Strong, I think he could have a good little run with this title. I mean, he's a hell of a workhorse, man. He can put on really good matches. So
I've liked him since the ROH days when I used to watch him.
Yeah, and then so. I still remember PWG when Adam Cole was doing the suck my dick gimmick, and he was wrestling Roderick Strong, and he's like, suck my dick, and Roderick Strong was like, okay, and Adam Cole's like, oh, really? You know, like, oh, sweet. So he starts to take down his tights, and Roderick Strong chops him right in the cock. I don't know why. I loved PWG, man. Fuck. So anyway, I think that's the right call too. Only 12 minutes for that, so that was probably the quickest match. One of the quickest match. Tag team match. Okay, so I love Claudio. He can do no wrong in my book. I think he's awesome. I think he's another guy that, I mean, they should give him the ROH title, I guess. You know, they did. But he should have been world champion somewhere by now, and that's just a shame. And he's another guy that no one – I don't get it, because he's as good as you can get. You know, him, John Moxley. I like John Moxley's character. I don't like John Moxley, the wrestler, so much. Just not my flavor. Anyway, I was actually – I didn't know how this match would go, but they actually defeat FTR in this match, a little over 21 minutes by technical submission. I kind of wandered off on this one a little bit. I'm not a huge FTR guy. I mean, they're technically awesome. They'll put on a great match. It's just, I don't know what it is. I just not my thing.
When they were heels in NXT, I was like, those guys are fucking awesome. I was a huge mark for them. As they ventured out on their own, as they got on the main show and then ventured over to AEW, it seems like they haven't developed much beyond that. And I think this match kind of pointed that out, because it seemed, I mean, it was all, you know, towards a planned end and everything, but everything they tried, all their usual tricks, Claudio and Moxley countered them or came back with something more devastating so they couldn't stay in their groove. And I don't know if that's an intentional storytelling thing or just how it looked to me, but it looked like they were doing their usual game, but Claudio and Moxley were just outperforming them and springing new shit on them every turn.
I have a hunch that with this upcoming tag team title tournament, I bet you FTR gets their win back against Boxing Cash and Oli here. I bet they do in that tournament.
Could be.
I think they will. I don't know why.
Well, it depends on if the Bucks want to get in it.
I hope so, but you never know. I mean, you hear like the backstage stuff where like the Bucks don't want to win titles, or you know, they always want to put people over, and I guess Tony Khan has to be like, no, you know, you're winning this. And I don't know. Anyway, women's title match. Your thoughts on this as Toni Storm defeats Deonna Purrazzo?
I really like Toni Storm's gimmick. I like the fact that they desaturate her side of the screen when they're in the match or when they're promo, or they're in color, she's in black and white. I think that's a funny gimmick. But this match was pretty standard. I didn't see anything too exciting about it. It wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't, I don't think it was pay-per-view quality.
A little underwhelming, but I don't know where they're going to go with this. I mean, if Mercedes comes in, you know, the former Sasha Banks comes in and just wins it. I wouldn't doubt that. Or maybe she'll go on a little bit of a, I don't know, like a little dream match scenario thing. I don't know what they'll do. But, yeah, I don't know. The women's division's a little odd in AEW. I'm surprised they had Julia Hart win a title. They actually kind of struck with her when, you know, she got popular. So, I mean.
Right.
But I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
And then we get into the final three matches. And these final three matches will rival anything on pay-per-view you've seen. I mean, even AEW. They really loaded it up at the end. And Will Ospreay's debut defeating Takeshita in 22 minutes. And it is a fast 22 minutes because this was awesome. And this is one of the better matches you'll see. I mean, there's no backstory to it. It's just two guys doing awesome wrestling moves. And
this guy's really good. That guy's really good. Let's let him fight.
And that's all I care about, kind of. I mean, I don't.
Well, if you preface it that way in the beginning, that's cool. It doesn't do. So, you know, Ospreay's got the reputation. Takeshita's got a reputation. Boom.
The Brain Buster, everyone's talking about that, the Brain Buster spot where his kidney kind of scraped down, like, what, the rope turnbuckle deal?
Frogged his back pretty hard.
Yeah, and the selling was either really good or that shit did hurt, and I'm pretty sure it hurt, but yeah, you'd have to see
pretty
it.
Sure.
I don't know about, even the Brain Buster seemed like that would suck too if that would have hit, but... Awesome match. I was thinking that the Callis family were going to turn on Ospreay afterwards. I thought that was the way to go. Push Ospreay to the moon because the crowd already loves him, and this crowd was really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know what I mean. That guy's, you know, his actual personality is kind of, you know, kind of goofy and stuff like that. You know, so. Why not make him a babyface now? You know, he's awesome, you know? I mean, right now, I don't know who's doing better matches than he is. I mean, the last, like, 2 years, he's owned it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I just don't – I don't think you put him in that – that faction's kind of a weird put-together faction anyway. You know what I mean? It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever happened to factions, like, all kind of – I'm not saying like you got to be in uniform and dress similar, but you know what I mean? You got like one dude that's Japanese heritage, and you got Hobbs, a big muscled up black dude. Then you got the Australian kid dressing in a tux. Like they don't even look like remotely together. You know what I mean? Like at least the Adam Cole crew wear the same shirt or, you know, kind of look
right.
Like, oh, athletic white guys. Cool. They sticking together. You know, I don't know. It's just they don't seem like they're together. You know what I mean? That's just me.
The kind of unity of the team.
But I will say, and I messaged you after this. I go, man, following this would be a bitch. And quality-wise, there wasn't anything better than this. But what followed it was still awesome enough to where it really wasn't much of a letdown the rest of the night. Three-way match for the world championship. This is... I am not a Samoa Joe guy. It's just me. I think he's a good mid-card dude. I think you can give him a belt. There's plenty of belts to go around. Don't make him your main champion. Just me, all right? I mean, he's had his time.
Mm.
So I don't know. You know, it's not like...
I mean, interim defer the babyface to Chase. Yeah, I can see that.
And this is what I'm talking about while striking while the iron's hot, and AEW does not do it. What they did with Wardlow, here, Swerve Strickland isn't going to be red hot forever. You know what I mean? The song, and the song is awesome with the dance, and, you know, it's catchy now. It's not, eventually, once it makes its rounds, you know what I mean? It's not going to be hot for like a year, year and a half more.
Yeah.
So why the hell do you have Samoa Joe go over Adam Page and Strickland here? It seemed like it was more about
Strickland and Hangman's story than it was Joe. Joe just happened to be a bystander.
Yeah, and they've kind of painted themselves with the Adam Page Strickland thing that's been going on for months and months. How do you end it? I mean, you can't have a loser leaves town match. You know they're both there and they're both part of plans. So what do you do here? Do you give it a stupid gimmick, or what do you do? Do you I quit? You almost have to do some kind of injury angle for one of them to go away for a while, but then
yeah,
do they just forget it?
It's gotta be a last man standing or yeah, something like that.
I mean, but they've already done vicious stuff. They already did the Texas death match where he hung Hangman. You know what I mean? Where do you go from here? It's weird.
I will say, like I said, I watched a little bit of Collision before this, but the promos they cut, I bought them completely. It was good. They were done well and was constructed well. And that's something TNA, I don't know why they can't do it. I don't know why, if it's the angles or if the wrestlers are like, okay, whatever, just give me my lines. But I bought that they're legitimately pissed at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Eat the shit out of each other. So at least they did that right. And again, I think that story took precedent over Joe being the champion. Like I said, Joe is so well known now that I think he was just kind of window dressing, a bit player in this whole thing, and that's going to be the main thing. With Ospreay might come after him for the title, you know.
I mean, you can't have Ospreay lose that.
Oh God, no.
What are your thoughts on this match, the match quality, and then Samoa Joe winning? Is that what you would do?
I mean, if either way, you could have took it off Joe, and they'd still have. Then you'd have the spice of having a title to win, depending on who got it from him. So I'm not sure why they didn't go that way. But they might, and again, they might just want it to be like, you guys are so obsessed with each other that you're screwing yourself out of the rankings and title reigns and that kind of shit. So we need to settle this if you guys really want to proceed in AEW. You know, kayfabe. If you want to proceed to the top or keep getting matches, you're going to have to get this out of the way because it's interfering with both of your careers. So I could see how they could set that up and say, this is a match. Once this is done, that's it. You know?
With this
match quality, I thought it was good. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, great match.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Just with this quality of roster, how the hell is Samoa Joe your main champion? And he's solid. I'm not saying he's not. He can talk. Yeah.
How long has he had it?
Great physical shape. I mean, right?
How long has he had the title?
Oh, no. I mean, he had a couple months. Or no, since December 30th.
Oh, okay, so not incredibly long.
No, it would have been a transitional champ, but how long do you want him to have it? Do you want him to have it? Really? Should he headline Wembley in August?
No. Just to give Ospreay somebody to beat.
Oh, well, okay. If that's the case, yeah. If that's the case.
Then, yeah, but otherwise, I like Joe, but like you said, he's been around forever.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like I don't like him, but I like him. It's just I think for the greatest wrestling quality roster we have today, it's just crazy that Samoa Joe's at the top of it, but yeah, it is what it is.
Right.
And then finally,
he's at the end of his career, but he's heading that way.
Yeah, I mean, he. I don't see longevity there. Do you? I mean, not with his conditioning. No. I mean,
no.
Anyway, final match of the night. I will say that when I was 4 years old, and I've probably told this story before, but. It was the Capital Combat pay-per-view commercial that got me into wrestling. It had Sting and RoboCop. You remember this? That's what got me into wrestling. Sting was my first favorite wrestler. And, you know, I mean, granted, I was young, you know, 4 or 5. And then, you know, what do they call it? Surfer Sting. Love that. And then I think one of the greatest storylines of all time is the Crow Sting versus NWO and how that played out. I think that's awesome. I think that's great. I mean, now, however that Starrcade ended, you know, a little bit squirrely, you know, but you had Hogan and Bischoff doing whatever behind the scenes. Yeah, it was WCW.
Yeah, the inmates were calling the shots back then.
So, but Sting was my first favorite wrestler. So I will also say this about Sting. He's about to be 65. You see people like, what's Jericho, early 50s? Jericho looks way worse than Sting. Now, granted, he's still trying to go out and keep up with these. You know, I mean, Jericho was in that 8-man scramble for no good reason. He couldn't keep up with anyone there.
Oh, God, no. And he working with his shirt off.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I
think that hurts him. Sting has not been shirtless in I don't know how long.
No, but, you know, and he's got the right gear for it, though. You know, I don't even know if that's a singlet or what that is. It's more than just a singlet. Almost just like a bodysuit with the scorpion. It's awesome, but it's worth, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, exactly right. If you get older, figure out some way of covering it up. You know what I mean? Like, especially, you know, if you're not roiding up. I hate to say that. you get what I mean. Let me suspend my disbelief, you know, that you're not. Grandpa.
Or some black with a little semi-tactical gear look to it.
Yeah.
Singles gloves and just, you know, get a different image. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be covered up like a nun, but don't show when your shit's getting all weird looking.
Yeah. You know, just sleeveless shirt. It could be yours, whatever.
Yep.
It don't matter. So anyway, long story short, Sting's awesome, dude. Like for his age, no one I think has held up like him.
No. Some of the bumps I've seen him take the past few weeks, I'm like, good God.
Yeah, he must just be filling up the bump card, right? He's just like, you know.
punching it.
Yeah. So anyway. Main event, Sting and Darby Allin with his sons, Ric Flair. What, Steamboat was the guest timekeeper? Is that what it was?
I think so.
They defeat the Young Bucks, and I didn't know which way this would go. I really didn't. I
given the tradition of going out on your back, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I could have seen it going, and the false finishes were great. Anyone, you know, that's listening to this that hasn't seen it, try to go see it. Because, I mean, it's another crazy kind of hard to discuss it. There was panes of glass. Sting hit it with a bat. Didn't happen, so he just randomly hit it again. I don't know if that's a fit of rage.
Goddamn glass.
Yeah. But this was great. And it felt like PWG Bucks, too. And the crowd helped it. Everyone did awesome. Darby Allin took a nasty bump as usual.
Holy shit. He took that bump and I thought, okay, safety glass, whatever. Then they showed him, and he's starting to weep a little bit. And then they showed him like another minute later and it was like rivulets of blood just coming down his back from every air little piece of glass cut.
Yeah, it was coming through the pores, man. It was nuts.
Good God.
And then he goes,
there's a coffin drop later.
Yep. Nope, didn't care. There was.
It's not gonna have a long career.
Super kicks to Ricky Steamboat. Super kick to Flair, and then you really don't know if Flair has passed on or not.
Did we just kill Flair?
You know, that was crazy. But you gotta love the callback to the Flair Shawn Michaels. We hate you. Double super kick to Sting. So many spots were awesome, man. This was great. And it's hard not to, you know, get emotional, like, because you get into it, you know, and that's the last time he's doing it, and I guess he's, you know, he's dead serious about it. So Sting and Darby Allin, they go out, Sting undefeated the whole time in AEW.
Yeah, I saw 28-0 when he going into the match. I'm like, wow, everyone to send him out in style and as a legend. So
that's awesome, that's man. Cool. I mean, and he's held that's up cool. his end of the bargain too. He's not putting on any duds or anything like that.
Oh
so.
God, he's doing it. He's doing what he can do.
But they said he kind of handpicked the Bucks, and people. That's one thing, you know. Especially the Cornette people that constantly talk shit on the Bucks. Man, you guys got fucking issues. Like they're probably arguably the best tag team I've seen. Like with just quality of work throughout the years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not the most imposing, obviously. And you know, there's been crazier stuff like, you know, the TLC matches and WWE and all that, but they're just always solid, man. They're not.
Yeah.
And they work together awesome.
This was the honor Sting, and to give the fans every last bit of Sting they wanted one final time. That's all it was for. And everybody going into it understood that, and that's what they did.
And I hope that shows other wrestlers
you match
that
the year thing, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
wasn't what it was supposed to be.
But you know, it goes to show that this is just I would rather be with this company than the you know, the evil empire that is, you know.
Right. They've made changes over there, but they're not moving fast enough, and I think they're too comfortable, so they're never gonna really make any changes that's going to challenge anything AEW can do.
Well, I mean, I still hearken back to Kurt Angle's farewell match being just a dud against Baron Corbin, and then that's it. Like, what? Kurt Angle? Like, what?
Yeah.
That's what we get? Oh, thanks. And then you get people that are like, well, but, you know, nah, fuck you. Fuck that. you know, like, but this was perfect, man. Yeah. This is perfect. And, you know, this is 5 stars. I don't give a fuck if it's quality. This was emotional. Oh, it was good. This is 5 fucking stars.
For what they were doing, trying to do with the match, yes, it was. It was really, it was excellent.
So, I mean, I left this thinking, damn, this was I'd watch those final three matches over and over. And now I don't say that about a lot, yeah. Just because you're jaded after a while. You watch enough stuff.
I'm gonna make. There's my wife. My wife helped watched with me on a couple of them, but I'm gonna make her watch the last three for sure. I did show her Darby Allin's bit with the, you know, splash on the glass, so we see all the blood. But yeah, she needs to see the Moxley against it and Claudio thing. She needs to see Takeshita and Ospreay.
Yeah,
and that. The Joe match, yeah, those were all just good matches to watch.
So their next pay per view, April 21st, St. Louis, Missouri. That's and their pay per views are almost always awesome.
Yeah.
So.
It's right down the road.
Yeah. Maybe. Nah, I probably won't.
I probably won't either.
I would. I don't know. I would, but maybe I won't, you know. Talk myself out of stuff. Anything else you want to put a bow on AEW before we get into the real, real good shit?
Nothing that, like I said, I just wanted to specify watching a half hour of Collision, getting prepped for the pay-per-view. I was more drawn in and entertained than the past month, 2 months of TNA. TNA just seems to be missing a major element of being able to draw the audience in, you know?
TNA, you say? Let's get into TNA. It.
Okay.
Steve Maclin defeats Mike Speedball Bailey. Here's a compliment right off the bat. This was the best Steve Maclin match I've ever seen. Not even joking.
I wrote really good match. It was very, very fast paced, very innovative, kept your attention. It was a good match.
I hate to keep parroting this, but the TNA, they don't have a very big roster. So what they do in booking, because, you know, you see the pattern, is whoever loses, they want to keep them looking strong. So guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Interference. Good match. I'll stop there. You know,
yes.
Good match. Bailey's awesome. He's another guy that
he will have good matches. He keeps things interesting all the time.
So
the only thing I would add is that Macklin cuts the promo that I said he should have cut 2 or 3 weeks ago. The very next week that Nemeth was not on TV.
Yeah.
That's when this promo should have been cut.
That's what I was gonna say. Now finally the call back to Nemeth. Nemeth is back. So they had Nick Nemeth. I guess he won one of the New Japan titles, because New Japan's getting a little too many titles too. I don't know which one it was. It's a mid card title, but he has it now, and I guess he's gonna defend it there. You know,
right?
Frankie Kazarian. Well, go.
They set up for a pay-per-view, and this is all the build we get.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if it's a pay-per-view or a special or what. I don't know how TNA, because they work a lot of the, you know, they sacrifice and, you know, Soundgarden, Linkin Park. I don't know, but they run a lot of specials, so. I don't know which one that's on. I'm sure I just don't pay enough attention. Yeah. Frankie Kazarian gets past security. They suspend him because he attacking refs.
Which, hey, repercussions. I'm at least.
Yeah.
You know, it should be played for more than you're barred from the building. No, man, if this dude's going to fucking attack referees, there needs to be some serious repercussions. I'd even have referees screwing periodically if he, you know, like, in full view of the crowd, screw him. Say, look, you don't fuck with us.
We're
the ones who have to keep it down the middle. And if we don't, this is what it looks like.
Yeah, or have referees refuse to work his matches, so you got to have a ref do it, or have Santino do it for a while. You know, do something with it, because you know they won't.
Yeah.
Are you trying to book TNA right now?
I have to. Somebody has to.
Someone's going to have to. Here's another callback. Jake something's back to winning, and he's back to beating up luchadors. I say it's another callback because I thought he was heading towards, you know, because he won that scramble match, you know, six weeks ago, and then he loses to Frankie Kazarian randomly, and then he's not seen. So now they're warming him back up. And he beats Laredo Kid. And I believe he is going for the X Division title against Mustafa Ali, right? I'm pretty sure that's what I heard.
Yeah.
I was taking Zoloft, trying to get through it. Why am I trying to get through it? Because they're still doing the sound check with Hell and Angels.
Yes.
And it's getting worse.
My comment on this one was capital D dumb.
Is it not getting worse?
It was stupid.
Lights flickering, PCO appearing, and PCO, by the way, I know Ospreay Takeshita was awesome. Sting retiring was awesome. But PCO is my wrestler of the week. Okay? He punches Alan Angels. Alan Angels is, I mean, not only does this show suck, but they're making Alan Angels just look like he's, you know, void of any talent or winning, too. I mean, he just looks like an idiot.
He's the punching bag of the week.
So, Khan and PCO is just, it's never going to end, and I'm not here for it.
Nope.
Here's another callback. Hendry and Rich Swann defeat AJ Francis and Diener. This is another thing that got started with the Cheeto thing, right? Or what was it? Mm-hmm. Cheez-It Champ.
Cheez-It Champion.
And then it went away.
Yep.
And then there was no blow-off to it. So we were wondering, so these, just these few things that they're calling back should have been already blown off at the pay-per-view one way or another, but it's TNA, so we don't know. Francis looked terrible here.
Oh, yes. Yes. The they tried to do Hendry feud and the thing with Swan at the same time. I don't think they should have. I think that divides their attention too much. They can't seem to concentrate well on either one, you know, just in terms of follow through. So, and like I said, I was digging Hendry's promo till it went way too long.
Yeah. And it's taped.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Maybe watch it and see how it flows and then edit it if you have to.
You know, I think like Lance Storm's on this creative. I think he's on the creative team, or he's a producer or something.
Huh.
You can't tell by some of these matches.
Say something, Lance.
Their Uncle Phil chant.
That was the best part of this whole thing.
Man, how do you come back from that?
Shit.
Oh my God! So yeah. Anyway, that's a feud I'm not here for either. Decay promo on the other goth
team. I don't think
team.
It's a good match. I don't think AJ and Swan is a good match. I'll just leave that there. But yeah, the Decay promo was overacting 101. I don't believe either of their characters. Where, like I said, with Tony Storm, he does it so well, even though it's goofy and over the top. I buy it more and I like it more. These, do we need another goth girl with too much makeup and piercings in wrestling?
Oh, okay, in wrestling. Okay.
Well, yeah, in wrestling.
In society, life, sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Okay, real quick, they announced the signing of Alex Hammerstone. It's a good fucking signing for TNA, and he looks awesome. He's really good too. There was more signings. WWE signed, what's his nuts? Sean Spears. What's his name in WWE?
Yeah. Ten.
I remember. They signed him. And I forgot who else they signed. WWE signed a couple people. Sean Spears and I forget who else. TNA signed Hammerstone. And then AEW is, you know, they're looking to debut Okada and, you know, the former Sasha Banks. So who's winning on signings here? I mean.
I think that's pretty obvious.
But I forget what the other WWE signing was. It was Sean Spears and somebody. I just can't remember it at the moment. Oh, maybe it's... I did hear they might be signing Jacob Fatu, another. But that would be pretty good. But I mean, he'll be handicapped. But anyway. And then they say Hammerstone will be facing Josh Alexander. They have fought before. Good match. This is how you use Josh Alexander. I don't know about constantly beating Hammerstone, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then could you decipher what the hell the Dirty Dango Josh Alexander stuff was about?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Dango came on there and was trying to, you know, pimp some of his stuff at wrestling school or whatever. And Alexander was pissed at getting interrupted. So he said, oh, cool. You're looking for a match? You got a match next week. Okay. And Dangle looked like he was, didn't really want the match. So I don't know. It just all seems so aimless and silly.
Mustafa Ali celebration. Thoughts on this?
Nothing new here is what I wrote.
Here's the problem with TNA. You have this is what you get in a row, and this is the problem, because you do have good matches, But this is what you got in a row. You got Hendry, Swan, Francis, and Diener. That was not good. Then you get the Decay promo. Don't care. Then you get the Josh Alexander Dango stuff. Not good. Then you get the celebration thing. Not very good. That's too much stuff in a row. That's not very good.
No.
They're not even spreading that out. And it's the meat of the show.
What do you do after that? You have a new Ash for Elegance segment. and then another post-Ali segment crap.
Yeah.
It's like...
Oh, it keeps going. Zaya Brookside and it's Tasha Steelz. I don't even think that match ended. I have to look real quick.
Double count out.
Double count. Yep.
Double count out. And then Jordan Grace comes out and says, I just fight both of you. It's like, you guys are so pathetic. The champion doesn't care if she has to fight two people at once.
Yeah. Could you imagine that? Mike Tyson, like, I'll take on three of you. You know, no.
No shit. No.
Just silly. And then you want to keep going? Rhino, Crazy Steve again?
See, I didn't even write that down.
You were over it at this point.
Crazy Steve.
Done.
No one cares. No one will.
And finally, my favorite faction, because they go together so well, and they look awesome together. Definitely not just thrown together. The System.
Tossing off sparks.
Moose, Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers, and then Eddie Edwards' gussied up wife, who just doesn't even look like she would even be in the wrestling business. She's out there. They defeat Eric Young, Bay, and Austin.
Hey, so back in the day, when TNA was still wasn't ever really a contender, but it was still a decent watch. I liked Eric Young, but that was back in his kind of his goofy comedy days. Once he got serious and mean and everything, I just didn't buy it. And he doesn't. I don't care to see him too much anymore.
He doesn't do it for me. He doesn't do it for me.
Without a radical gimmick change of some sort that he can really get into, I don't care.
This is setting up Eric Young Moose. Just excitement level on that.
No.
Just a no. Just flat, not even a number. Just a no. best thing.
It's way too. You could build something really good, but it's like he gets the contendership and then they have one match or so before the pay-per-view. I don't see anything else that builds it. They don't. There's nothing. No back and forth between them. Nothing.
All right.
I don't know why I should care.
Final thoughts. And what's the best thing you saw this week in wrestling?
Oh, like I said, in watching Collision, I knew that was better than TNA by a mile. And then the pay-per-view was like, overall, I've got no complaints with it. Now, there was some stuff that was kind of like, oh, okay, that was there. But there was a lot of stuff to really like.
I tell you what, like, I was a little bit down. Because, like, sometimes the AEW, like, Dynamite's hit or miss right now for whatever reason. It should never be because you, again, with the toys you have. Collision's okay. Again, that's a little bit hit or miss. WWE's, it's just a non-starter for me. TNA, very hit or miss, very spotty. So, I mean, here lately, I've just been kind of bumming. But that pay-per-view brought me a little bit out of my funk to where I wanna watch some shit again. You know what I mean? So, thank you.
Well, now that I've got the means to wash a little bit, got the means to wash a little more regularly, consistently, I'm going to start watching a little more AEW too.
Yeah, we can always talk about that before we, get into the master class of TNA.
Kick TNA in the nuts.